Hi, my name is Kanal.
Hi, this is Callum.
And welcome to the Geeks of the Valley podcast, where we connect with some of the brightest minds globally who are leading their respective industries today to discuss some of the hottest upcoming trends and how their work is affecting the global economy. Today, this morning from Hong Kong, we have Samson Lee joining us, the CEO of Coin Street. Samson, thank you for having us and joining us this morning.
Hi, thank you. It's great pleasure for me to join. Really, thank you for having me as well.
Perfect. And how is the weather there in Hong Kong this morning?
It is great. It's just starting off the autumn, so it's nice and clear here.
Perfect. And so, you know, Samson, you know, my first question is how did it all start for you? You know, what was the process like onto, you know, making your way up to becoming the CEO of one of the biggest crypto companies out there in Hong Kong?
Well, it's an interesting process. Actually, I started 5 minutes, a quick introduction of my background. I started out, actually, I'm in the tech industry for over 20 years. I started out since the dot-com. So I was with the IPO team with the first internet-listed company in Hong Kong. So that's how I returned from Canada to Hong Kong. And then I stayed with the industry. Of course, we see the boom and bust of dot-com, but mm-hmm. I still stayed around. I did different things like e-commerce, mobile payment, content, video streaming, cloud, and just a natural evolvement. In 2016, I come across this technology called blockchain. Okay. And I find it so fascinating. And then later on, I got a coincidence. I got introduced for a common friend to a co-founder of Ethereum, Vitalik. So helping him to set up the community for Ethereum in Shenzhen purely on voluntary basis. And then the whole industry developed and took off. And we all know what happened in 2017 with the ICO boom. Mm-hmm. So at the time, we really find this blockchain is going to change the future of the financial industry and also the ways people are financing their project as well.
Right.
So I team up with some traditional investment bankers, actually. They're from traditional investment banking. So we formed this company called Coin Street with a vision of trying to be the Wall Street for the token world. So we are positioning ourselves as a boutique investment bank mm-hmm. for the token world. So on one hand, our business is very simple, right? On one hand, we help to qualify and select a high quality project, help them to get funded for tokenization, right? It could be utility token or security tokens. We can talk more about that later. Mm-hmm. And then of course, on the other hand, we'll focus on the professional investor institution helping the what we call the smart monies to find very interesting investment opportunity on a global scale.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Okay. That's very impressive, Samson. And perhaps, Samson, could you please share some of your big projects that that Coin Street partner has actually collaborated with? Because definitely I can see your name around all across Hong Kong.
Yeah, our partners or clients actually come from all parts of the world. One of my favorite projects actually is working with the Gibraltar Stock Exchange back in 2017. They are not the biggest, of course, right? But they are very innovative and progressive. And starting in 2017, they're already thinking the whole plan and roadmap of how to utilize blockchain in the stock exchange, and also how to use the traditional domain expertise from a very professional stock exchange operator point of view to operate a crypto exchange, right? So in that project, together mm-hmm. we helped them to launch a Gibraltar blockchain exchange, which is a crypto exchange, and also mm-hmm. helping them to deploy like blockchain technology into the traditional stock exchange, which is a natural evolvement, of course, to the security tokens as well.
Right. No, that's fantastic, Samson, especially, you know, seeing your wealth of experience in this industry. And, you know, a lot of people who aren't, you know, blockchain lovers like you, do not know, you know, there are a lot of basics out there we want to, you know, give the better crowd an understanding of, such as, you know, when it comes to CoinStreet, you guys mainly focus on STOs. What is an STO, first of all?
Well, STO is the full name stands for security token offer. So basically it's sales of security in a tokenized format to professional and institutional investors. So these, and very often the underlying securities very often are traditional asset class, like, mm-hmm. you know, ownership of something, equity, debt product, fixed income, investment funds, or maybe in some case, sharing of the economic rights.
I see. Okay. And you know, when it comes to the greater aspect of what CoinStreet does, can you dive a little more into detail about, you know, the company, when it was founded, how it started, and why you decided to start something like this?
Okay, sure. Well, I started out with actually involving in blockchain and you know, the distributed ledger technology. I find blockchain, you know, very amazing from the technology side, right? That's how it mm-hmm. started. And then later on, because of my background, I have been doing like financing for many startup company, technology company. So I also have a technology plus a finance background. So when we look at the tokenization portion, right at the beginning, the way we look at it is from a corporate finance approach, right?
Okay.
So mm-hmm. When we mm-hmm. think about traditional corporate finance, we have the debt financing where people basically borrow money through the balance sheet. And we have debt equity financing where people issue shares, you know, equity, and then the value will be derived by the earnings and the P&L of the company. So the way we look at token is it's just a new way of corporate finance where now people, companies can issue tokens and then create the value of the token for token economics. And they could work in both utility tokens and security tokens, but of course in different mechanism. And we see moving forward, corporation will likely to deploy a combination of different strategy, right? Just like today, right? Mm-hmm. We see a typical corporation, they may have some debt and they might also issue shares, right? And then we will see more and more company, I'm talking about like sizable, well-built company will be coming in and issue tokens. In fact, we start seeing mm-hmm. that now, right? Like when we see like Facebook and Walmart and all these big players now thinking about issuing their own tokens.
Right. No, and you bring up a really good point there, Samson. And I think it kind of tears into the question that where does regulation sit in the current market, Samson, in regards to STOs, utility tokens? How does the world view today? How does Asia Pacific look at it today?
Ah, that's an interesting question, right? Because if we look at utility yes. tokens, it is basically, you can look at it as a pre-sale of a product or service, right? A token could be a future entitlement to a product or service. It could be access to a service network, and it could also be look at like a loyalty points, right? A reward system for redemption. So in that case, there's really no regulation, right? Because it's mm-hmm. sales of goods and service, right? I think the bigger issue that we should look into for utility tokens, the tax issue, right? whether it's considered, you know, pre-sales tax or whatever, right? But not, it's not a securities, right? Mm-hmm. So it will be very interesting because utility token could be sold to anybody, right? It's just a product and service. Right. The other hand,
I see.
On the other hand, security tokens, they are securities. And securities are not new industry. It has been around with very mature regulation framework around. So I think most of the jurisdiction now, especially in major financial markets, which are more mature, they will use existing security regulation and framework to regulate the security tokens activities. Where they are more innovative jurisdiction, which maybe historically have less development on the equity market or stock market or security market, they actually came up with, like, for example, place like Malta, right, Gibraltar. So they actually came up with new regulations, for example, like the DLT framework, distributed ledger technology framework, to create a guideline of how to proceed on security tokens or utility tokens.
And Samson, in your perspective, with in light that the secondary markets are starting to be regulated, in terms of in that regards, in the next 6 to 12 months or even a year from now, do you think secondary market trading of security token offerings would be commonly used?
Yes, absolutely. While now we are at the very early stage of the development of security token markets, it is true that most of the activities right now is focusing on the EDISO offering.
I see.
Right. So, you know, EDISO subscription of new tokens or new project. The secondary trading liquidity is not yet here today. But I think the market is evolving and developing very rapidly, right? For the secondary trading, first of all, because it's handling secondary trading of securities, it is a regulated activities. Unlike the utility token or the crypto exchange, which is not security related. So the STO exchange, for example, will very often require a license from different jurisdiction. And I think different jurisdictions now is looking into, you know, what goes in terms of the requirements of the license and the operator. There wasn't too many security tokens exchange out there yet, but definitely the number is growing by month. And on the other hand, when we see more interesting security tokens is being issued and circular in the market, and very often this EDISO subscription, they will end, right? And then people have to get the token for secondary trading, right? When they start really seeing the return from the token, then people will have a better way to put a valuation of the tokens, right? Just like, you know, people putting valuation model on stock, and there will be analysis coming out, you know, there will be analysts working on different security tokens and creating reports, and there will be reports that will identify any undervalued security tokens, right? So with that ecosystem start building up, and then I will see there will be secondary trading, there will be smart money coming in and trying to buy undervalued token or high potential tokens for long-term basis.
Okay. So this is kind of like your 6 to 12 month outlook of what the process is going to kind of look like for a security token and how the industry is going to move along with it.
Right. And also, I don't think security token will replace the stock market, right? Because IPO is always IPOs. Mm-hmm. The stock market is always the stock market. The way I look at security token or security token exchange is almost like, because the token will be traded globally 24/7, right? So this is almost like a global OTC exchange.
Yes.
Right? Okay. It's not open wildly to public, you know, all the public investor or smaller retail investor is more focused on professional, but yet it's global, right? And there's also more stinging or a lot of compliance procedure right at the beginning before the token get listed, right? So it's almost like there's almost like a listing procedure with all the compliance, due diligence, risk profile matching from the investor and the project. So there are a lot of professional work going in to safeguard, you know, the generosity of the tokens.
Right. And, you know, Samson, to add to this, I know you had talked a little bit about utility tokens and what they offer kind of to the markets. But how is the industry kind of handling utility tokens? You know, how they went, how also things went from ICOs to STOs, now to IEOs. How is the market looking at that overall?
Right. Well, utility token is still a very interesting space. Although, you know, we started out from the Wild West in 2017, you know, went through the boom and the bust. To me personally, I look at it as almost like a dot-com, right? Except that, of course, now the world is all connected. All the cycle is more compressed, right? So we have almost compete what the dot-com cycle went through in 5 years, in 2 years, right? So now for utility token space, we actually coming out from the crash, which is not a bad thing because it's actually clean up a lot of noises and scam, right? There are, in fact, actually a lot of scam project out there, you know? But now it's good, you know, it clean it all up. And now the way I see, we almost like we are at 2003, 2004 with the dot-com, right? Now the utility tokens market is start picking up momentum again with, you know, the big player joining the market, right? A lot of this big company out there, they're actually issuing utility tokens instead of security tokens, because they are already public listed company, right? To them, the security tokens might not be as valuable, but on the other hand, because like, for example, you know, companies like Walmart, right? They have huge customer base, a huge supplier base. They have a huge ecosystem. So to them, it's more interesting to create a utility tokens that flow along the ecosystem and being almost like a lubricant of the business.
Okay, I see. In terms of that respect, speaking about the dot-com bubble, do you see another bubble coming in terms of the STOs, right? You know, we saw how the alt one happened in 2017 and the Bitcoin bull run. And, you know, now that, you know, we've been in this prolonged bear market, you know, it's been about 2 years ago, but a lot of crypto companies, I think we've seen like a mass extinction of like 90% of all crypto firms are either gone and, you know, they ran out of money. I think, you know, in your perspective, do you see the next bubble coming, especially for STOs or even IEOs or the upcoming altcoins that will be listed onto the crypto market very soon?
Right. Well, for STO, there's certainly a lot of hypes out there. But in terms of the actual market development is lag behind, right? Because, you know, the technology is always faster than human behavior. And so now the market is catching up. So I don't see the bubble yet. It might come because the liquidity is not here yet. I think the bubble will start building up when we see more people have made the money from the STO, right? If you think about it, that's how we start with ICO, right? Because back in 2017, all of a sudden people heard from their friends, you know, oh, wow, I make like, you know, 5x in this token and 10x in that token. And that word of mouth is starting the bubble, right? We haven't seen that happening yet in STO, but yet I think because STO, it is based on some solid underlying asset, right? I think the bubble should be less, right? Because there should be something underneath. It's not just based on a vision or a story or something like that. And it's also more focused on professional investor, which are more rational. They invest based on professional methodology rather than emotion, right? So I think if the regulator keep the STO to professional investment market, it should be rather safe. But yet, while we're speaking, we have already seen some success case in US. Some STO project have already successfully complete the filing of Red A, which is essentially allowed them to sell to the public investor. So we have to watch that trend very closely.
Right. So to wrap up with the final question, Samson, we'd like to ask, in your perspective, why do you think everyone is currently moving from the ERC-20 standard, which is commonly used by utility tokens, into the ERC-1400 standard? Could you please share your thoughts?
Okay, sure. Well, I'd like to clarify. So not everyone moving to 1400, okay? So maybe we step back a little bit, right? So now the key is about what they call fungible tokens and non-fungible tokens.
I see.
Okay? Because in a traditional, it sounds strange because only a year or 2 years before, traditional ERC-20 standard or for the utility tokens, right?
Yes.
Every token is almost like identical, right? Okay. When you buy a Bitcoin, right? Your Bitcoin is the same as my Bitcoin, right? Well, or Bitcoin is not a good example because not on ERC-20. Maybe you buy like a L coin, you know, a utility token from a particular project, right?
Yeah.
Your coin is the same as my coin, right? And we can trade in the market openly, and you don't care. You buy like 10,000 coins, and you know, and the other party sell to you. But for security tokens, because of the compliance issue, right? Because remember what we talked about before is that we're still using a lot of existing security regulations and framework, right?
Okay.
In the traditional world, a lot of the regulator, they actually need to have a record of shareholders, right? Maybe from the regulator point of view, maybe from the company point of view, at any time, they will need to know who are the shareholders of the company, right? So when someone is selling their shares or someone's buying it, the new shareholders need to get on the book of record, right?
I see.
So this function or features is not supported by the ERC-20, right?
Okay.
Where the ERC-1400 is designed to be a non-fungible tokens where they will have an ability to store this identity information of the owner of the tokens, right? So some
people
put in the KYC and the AML requirement tag along with that features in the smart contract, right?
I
so see. It can only be done with the new standard. And reason I'm saying not everyone moving to the 1400 is because the 1400 is more promoted by Polymath, right? Which of course is a major player in the security tokens market, but they work on the Ethereum architecture and you know, joint hand with a few other people to create this 1400, and then now promoting it is one of the popular standard now. But apart from this, we also see other big players also promoting other standard, right? But which of course will comply and be able to deliver the same features. For example, for Securitas, they're promoting their protocol called the SD, or DS standard, which stands for the Digitized Securities Standard. And then, we also see other companies promoting. But which one will be the winning standard? We don't know yet, right? Because this is more early stage. I think eventually, it's about adoption.
And I fully agree with you. And adoption is like kind of like the Blu-ray and HD DVD, right? So there's always these two competing standards that we have to consider. Samson, thank you very much for your time. Due to the interest of time, perhaps could you please share what would be the best way to contact you with?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Really great pleasure to be here to share with the audience. If you want to reach me, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find Samson Lee Constreet, very easy. Or you can come to our website, is constreet.partners, or send me an email, is SL, stand for Samson Lee, SL at constreet.partners.
All right, that's great, Samson. And on behalf of Kunal and myself, thank you very much for your time and joining us on Geeks of the Valley. We'll be right back.